This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast, number 158 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the Finance Committee meeting held at the Municipal Building, third floor training room, on Tuesday, January 15, 2019. This meeting is the second of two to review the capital budget held by the Finance Committee. Today's meeting will review the following agenda items: the schools, facilities, technology, and recreation departments, although not necessarily in that order. After hearing all the presentations, the Finance Committee will vote to recommend some or all of these, with or without modifications, to be brought to the Town Council for their review and vote. The complete agenda documents for the January 15 meeting can be found on the Town of Franklin pages, and the links are included in the show notes. The documents for the capital budget discussion complete package can also be found in the show notes. I note that it is a large single PDF file with 166 pages, so it will take some time to open, but once you get to that appropriate page, you should be able to follow along. The total meeting recording runs about 50 minutes, so without further ado, here is the audio recording.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Finance Committee meeting of Tuesday, January 15th. Just a reminder that this meeting is being recorded. We're not being videotaped. If you could announce your name as you speak for the first time, that will help those folks that listen to the audio understand who's speaking. Thank you. So it's Mike Duford, Chairman, speaking at the moment. Do we have any public citizens' comments this evening? Seeing none. Thank you to George for distributing our minutes from last Tuesday's meeting. I was on the committee. You have a chance to review the minutes. Anyone know of any errors or omissions?
I'd like to make a motion to accept. This is Bill Dowd.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, minutes are approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're going to start, we're going to do a quick presentation from the Recreation Department first, just so Ryan can go home to his family. So if you start on page 7 at the top of the sheet, you'll see pretty straightforward. We're recommending $200,000 to be spent to fix up the Fletcher Field Court. For those of you who did not get a handout, we have a couple extras up here. Maybe Ryan, you want to just take us through the need,
sure.
Although the pictures should hopefully tell the story.
Yeah, so Fletcher Field is, my name's Ryan Jennings, Director of Recreation. Down at Fletcher Field, that houses two basketball courts and our recreation street hockey program. And the courts were repaved back in, I have all the dates in here, but repaved back in the 2005, and then repainted again in 2013. Courts are asphalt courts, and in the Northeast, they tend to crack real easy. And if you look at the pictures, you can see we've got some real deep cracks, some up to 3 inches deep. And for ball sports, it doesn't really play well, especially with balls rolling and basketball. So some of them really have weeds growing out of them, and if you look at the pictures, you'll see that it's in irreparable. So we've done the courts up at King Street this past fall. We'll finish painting them in the springtime, but they're made of a post-tension concrete, which is going to last up to 20 years. Asphalt, this company, Cape and Island Tennis, they're one of the best in the industry. They don't even do asphalt courts anymore. They don't recommend them because asphalt in this climate isn't lasting very long, so they won't guarantee that. So we're suggesting to go to the post-tension concrete, and then we're also going to be looking to replace the boards that are up in the court too, as well, for containment of the balls. When we play street hockey, it really helps instead of getting the ball caught under the fence. So that's why we're requesting $200,000 to replace. And we know that cost because we're doing King Street right now. So, any questions?
Bill Dowd, Vice Chair. Brian is just.
I agree with you using a better material, but what would the asphalt cost if we have something to use the asphalt?
The asphalt cost is one third of the cost of the concrete, but the longevity is
every 5 years. It looks
yeah,
like it.
Yeah,
kind of like the roads.
Now, how, yeah, right. How long would you anticipate this material to last?
I think this is going to last 25 to 30 years. Wow. They guarantee it for the 20.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really, I mean, it's worth it, because what they do is they put almost like a rebar inside of the concrete, and it's like they put in a mesh rebar, and then they tighten it as it's curing, and it really gets it hard as a rock, and it lasts a long time. It's just up here in the Northeast, we have frost heaving, and the ground tends to move a lot, and asphalt is very brittle, and it tends to break, as you can see with a lot of our roads. And
what are you saying?
I drive messages.
Yeah, okay.
Not just here.
Yeah.
King Street is the first time we've used this supplier?
Yes. Well, this product, the post-tension concrete. But this is, I mean, it's a trend in the park and rec business. I mean, everybody that's doing courts, like tennis courts, are using this product now.
How did they use it at the high school? They're brand new.
It was 6 years ago.
Is it really?
Well, it was designed.
Yeah.
It was open for you. It'll be about 5 years this fall.
Actually, if you go to the high school, you can already start to see that there's some little spider cracks coming in, and I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, that's asphalt. A lot of school, you get asphalt because everybody else gets asphalt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 5 years, you'll be replacing them.
They have been using, Mike D'Angelo, director, so they have been using now. Post-tension concrete building since the 80s, and actually the addition to the library, the original 80s addition, the second floor, is actually decked with it, because you can cover long spans without much for posts in between. And it was used late 80s into the 90s. I built another couple buildings with it in different towns, but it was real popular for that reason. And now they've started using it on courts outside.
That court really gets a ton of usage. I mean, Fletcher Field is one of the first parks we had in town. And I mean, I grew up down there, so I know how many kids are down there on a daily basis. And with that playground and all the ball, you know, the baseball fields and the concession, and it just gets a ton of usage. And all the neighborhood kids come down there, so it really is a safety hazard with those cracks, and kids are going to start tripping. And it's going to get worse real quick.
Any other questions for Ryan? Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
All set. Next up on the previous page, page 6, we'll pick up where we left off last week. Item number 12, and then we'll just work down the school department and school technology. The administrator and I are recommending $318,000 for those three items there, the special ed van, the double stack oven, and $250,000 for school technology. I'll pass it over to the school department and school committee to talk about those items.
Sure, we'd be happy to. Thank you, Sarah Ahern, Superintendent of Schools. I'm joined by our budget subcommittee of the school committee, Denise Schultz, Ann Bergen, and Judy Zub. Well, Miriam Goodman, School Business Administrator, Lucas Jagir, Assistant Superintendent, and former Closure Director of Technology has also played a huge role in putting together a couple of requests. We are requesting an 8-passenger special education van to support an increased number of students who are in our schools who require specialized transportation. It is mandatory that we provide them the transportation for their IEPs. But providing them transportation with our own vans does come at a cost savings. Otherwise, we would have to contract the service out. So we are seeking an 8-passenger special ed van. And we want to thank the support that we had earlier this year for a van that was supported through capital as well, because it is making a difference in terms of our transportation services for students with special needs in already. We are looking for a double stack combination oven for the food service at the high school. This would allow an expansion of the program and increase meal participation, which has been on the rise since Colin has joined us as our food services director. We'd like to make sure that he has the resources that he needs to continue to increase participation in the meal program. And for school technology, we have annual needs related to making sure that our students have the instructional technology that they need for their classes, as well as the replenishment of technology for teachers. So this funding would go to support student Chromebook replacements, staff computer replacements. We're also looking to outfit our ECDC preschool with a couple of clear touch displays that will support the technology that is integrated into their new curriculum, Big Day for Pre-K. These displays are low to the ground and they are tactile, so that our little learners can go up to the screens and engage and interact with the curriculum. And as students are becoming more and more tech savvy at younger and younger ages, this is becoming an environment that they are very comfortable with and come to expect even at the youngest ages. We are also looking for other investments, including a software program that would help us with our scheduling of substitutes. We'd be happy to answer any further questions, and these folks have been doing a lot to research this and put the proposal together, and may have some additional details to share.
Questions? Yes.
Sarah, what's two questions? Who drives the special ed vans? Is it just
we have van drivers that we hire and employ in the district.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would hire somebody to drive that van.
And on the technology, the Chromebook replacements, how many of those do you do a year? Who gets them?
We do about 500 at the freshman for the high school.
We replace the Tim Raposa, director of technology for Franklin Town and Schools. The incoming freshmen at the high school, because we have a one-to-one program at the high school, the take-home one-to-one program at the high school. So what we're doing is, that program started back in 2014. Mm-hmm. So right now we're cycling out our 5-year-old Chromebooks. Right. And what we do is the ones that are still usable, we reuse them down at the lower levels.
Okay.
How far down are the Chromebooks now?
Excuse me?
What grade level down?
Oh, with one-to-one down from middle and high school. At the middle schools, they don't take them home. We keep them in-house, which cuts down on breakage. And we're closing in on one-to-one at the K to five as well. Wow. About 6,000 Chromebooks district-wide.
Wow. On the van, how many of the 8 that this supports, do we have an increase for? Is it 4, 5, 3?
The number of students?
Yes.
Off the top of my head.
So we're transporting about 113 students district-wide. Outside, if we have the contract for that, we're paying upwards of $160 a day to a vendor to do that transportation. This would allow us to do that at a lower cost.
Yeah, I guess I should ask my question better.
Is it 5 kids more?
Yeah, is it 5 kids more or 6 kids more? I'm thinking, should we prepare for a 16 kids in the future and a 16 person van versus an 8 person van?
I think the licensing is different.
It is.
Okay.
And that's why we look for an 8 passenger van.
Okay.
And I think with the expansion of our in-district programs, we don't know when new move-ins might come.
Hard to predict.
It is.
I mean, the other issue you're gonna face is the potential of cycling out of the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you maintain the current level, in 2 or 3 years, it'd be starting to ask for, what are you up to, 10, 11?
We have 11 vans right now. Our oldest one is a 2009.
Yeah, so.
We have two that are 2009.
You're gonna start seeing that. I just want people to know that. They requested a triple up, but we only gave them a double.
On the Chromebooks, those are purchased or leased?
They're purchased.
What's the breakage rate? You talked about the breakage. Do we lose a lot to...
On the Chromebooks?
Yeah.
It tends to be much higher at the high school because they're taking them home. And It's high school.
Yeah.
Middle school, they, you know, we do, you know, purchase top quality carts, which cuts down on the other thing that really does in a Chromebook is power. So we get a lot of motherboard failures, but far less at the middle school than at the high school, because at the high school, they're taking them home, plugging them into the wall. At the middle school, we're plugging them into carts that have conditioned power in them, so it really saves, it really lengthens the life of the Chromebook. And then, you know, you're dealing mainly with accidental damage, broken screens, that sort of shit. But it's, and yeah, and we do have insurance for the high school. All of the high school students have insurance that they can purchase at the beginning of the year as well, which covers unlimited number of breakages.
Do most of the kids, most people buy the insurance, or how many replacements do you have to buy for the high school kids?
Most do. You got, I don't know, what would you call a percentage?
I'd say maybe there's 200 kids that, maybe 10%.
10%, maybe, yeah, out of 1,750. So, but that did purchase the insurance. It's a great deal. I mean, maybe you get $25 and you're covered for that year. And it covers all accidental damage. So, you know, if the child decides they want to carve their nice name in the Chromebook, they still pay for that. They have to reimburse for that.
So you buy, if I could just follow up, you mentioned you buy 500, and that's for the freshman class?
Yes.
They keep that same Chromebook right through the senior year of high school?
Yep.
They give it back to the district?
Yep. Oh, yeah. So it always remains our device, always. And it's managed by us as well.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Facilities. Excellent. So the next category, number 13, facilities department, is really, as folks know, I've kind of tried to separate these out, school projects versus town projects. We're recommending $620,000 for these four items. The first is the $250,000 for the Keller Sullivan roof, $30,000 for the apartment or canopy, $240,000 for security and surveillance investments, and $100,000 for the Horace Mann drainage courtyard fix, which those of you who are not familiar with that, yep, shaking their heads as if everybody already knows. We had a bit of a buffer last year with a bit of a flood that had a big insurance claim on the in the theater. And Horace Mann, so we are proposing to add that money in to fix that drainage system.
And it's really about units, not roof.
It's not the roof.
Mike, I don't know if you have anything else to add or if the school committee wants to add anything.
That's just a typo.
Do you want me to just run through?
Yeah,
sure.
Give you some description.
Regularly.
Okay, so the Keller Sullivan, it's the rooftop units providing heat for the school, basically in large areas, cafeteria, any office, library, gymnasiums. They're all heated with a unit, HVAC unit that sits on the roof, much similar to here, except it's a gas-fired unit that creates its own heat on the roof. There are boilers in the building that heat all the classrooms. A typical rooftop unit is good for a maximum of 15 years when you're firing gas into a heat exchanger in it. The heat exchanger is transferring heat to the air ductwork that comes down into the building. So firing flame in that all winter long, all day, on and off, that heat exchanger tends to rot out. Out of all the rooftops up there, I've had to replace three of them once I got into this, because we're up to 17 years old for the building. This money is to replace the remainder of the rooftops, and then you'll be reset on another cycle where you'll basically get at least another 15 years out of them. Just wear and tear. I mean, they just something that runs every day usually in early October, through the end of April. So, and the school's basically, the one, you know, the school opens at 6:30 in the morning and is really open till 11 o'clock at night. Departmental canopy. This is the cafeteria canopy. So if you're looking at the front of the school on the right-hand side, there's a canopy that extends out over a concrete area. This is actually the original canopy. This was put on the school in 19, when it was built in 54. When the school was added to, it's actually the other side of the school from the main office going to the left that was built on in the 80s. That was the additional part of the school. So we noticed some cracking in the posts. There are four posts on the canopy, three across the front, one on the back. We hired a structural engineer to come out along with an architectural firm working with them. It ended up just being the both of those companies of people we were working with at the public library currently. They've done a design. We added a couple posts at one spot. If you drive by, you'll see in the front left corner of that canopy, you'll actually see three posts sitting there. The two are just temporary short and designed by the structural engineer for the winter. Look at about $30,000. You support the canopy, take out the posts, you gotta dig out, put new larger footings underneath the concrete, new posts, new slab. That's $30,000. It's all designed. We're ready to go to bid with it to get it done over the summer. Security and surveillance investments. When we met with the school department this fall, their number one item from a facility standpoint was for safety and security. That was their expressed interest. As you know, the high school, which opened in 14, has the biggest and best security systems available at the time we were designing it and the time we were building it. There's 330 cameras at the high school, inside and out. So this is a multi-year plan. We put it together. And really, in essence, what it does is it takes our middle schools, which the systems in them are much less expansive than in the high school, and wearing out an older technology. The high school has IP cameras. The old schools have older analog and digital systems. And what, in essence, it does over this four-year period, it'll bring the three middle elementary school complexes and the three standalone small elementary schools up to the level of cameras and security that exists right today.
It was a $1 million request.
So
about our numbers.
Over four, right, 5 years.
4 years, 5 years, depending on what finally gets tweaked at the end.
So these are on the state bid list too, right, Mike?
Yeah. State bid contractors.
There's some physical improvements as well, but this is technology is the vast majority.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
Has nothing to do with Bob, sort of. We have a lot of jewels in this town.
Thank you.
The crown jewel was the common. Do we surveil the common at all?
No. Nope. We don't do any external surveillance other than buildings, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, so like out in the parking lot. And
yeah, I get that.
We don't
you drive by.
We haven't started following the public yet.
Like, you know, you read in the newspaper where kids go in and destroy cemeteries. Now we've got nice monuments that they just put in, all that stuff.
Just like, ping their phone and I'll tell you.
Huh? Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it caught my attention the other night sitting waiting for a crazy traffic light to change.
That's more frustrating.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that technology is newer today. I mean, some places are doing it, but the technology, our systems are a much lower, high technology, lower cost. When you're in a building, you're using actually the building's wiring and network the wires we have, the Cat 5, the same thing you're plugging your computer into, the same thing you're plugging your phone into. That's what actually carries the camera feeds or the access control when you go up and you swipe your fob at the door to get into buildings. Or that's actually what carries. So it's not as, it's more cost effective to run BINCs based on a building that you have switches, computer technology, and to get random cameras out. They're doing it now everywhere, but we're not doing it. We're just focusing on school buildings, interior and exterior.
So if I could ask a question, this is a multi-year project?
Four.
Four, so this is 1/4 of it. How are we prioritizing which schools are being done first?
Depends which, where do your kids go?
That's what I was gonna ask. If it was, no. But I'm curious, I mean, are there some schools that are easier to adapt than others?
I mean, the school committee had an outside person come in and make reviews, so I don't know if they're gonna tell everybody what they're doing, but.
No, well, you just answered my question. So clearly there is a plan as to which ones go first, and it's probably based on how they're laid out and which ones are easier to secure and whatnot, okay.
For the 250, you probably get a middle school and at least a smaller elementary school.
Okay.
Done within a year. So you'd be in a complex, you'd be buying all the hardware that sits in the main computer room, the MDF. The wiring, the cameras, and any other improvements such as door locking, that type of thing that we put in school. So it's a group of different things that have been recommended by the consultants that the school department hired to make it overall safer in about different ways.
Okay, great.
Just the other thing is, we only have a 10-week window.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when do we do this?
Just like
every
other school system in the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do a giant project all at once. And some of the schools are busy in the summer with activities.
Yeah.
So trying to spread it out, and so based on what the school's priorities are, is what we're trying to do.
Okay.
I assume this includes all the infrastructure within Tim's stuff within the school. Right?
It does, because every time you put out a certain number of cameras, the cameras are powered over the internet lines that actually bring the signal back and forth. So this includes buying switches that go in the main computer rooms that feed these.
Similar to what we had to do when you put the phones in. We had to purchase switches to power the phones. The different types of switches than we have now. So we got a little switch upgrade too, which kind of extends our life as well.
The world has changed from where that little Cat 5 or Cat 6, the wire that you plug into the computer, actually now powers the phone, powers the camera, powers any number of devices, your
access
points, the wireless access points. So that technology is thoroughly embraced in the new equipment that's come out in the last 5 or 6 years.
With the national sensitivity and attention to school security in general, are there any grants available for this type of activity?
They've been talking about it.
But
it hasn't materialized. Yeah, but we keep apprised in our own listservs and things of that nature to keep our ears to the ground, and there's been talk, but it hasn't been for.
The Horace Mann courtyard
for the 5 year
drainage.
What?
So we opened Horace Mann.
Little man's questions.
Yeah, right.
Obvious. Okay. The flood.
Flood to get the water out of here.
Yeah.
Get water go away.
Any other questions on these four items?
And last but by no means least, number 14, we just have one project for the town facilities, municipal generator, which from the risk assessment was one of the priorities that they had added in there that we committed to. So it's going to be about $90,000 to make sure all of our stuff is at least backed up. I think this issue has come up before I got here.
Sorry to keep it dramatic.
We also have a generator at the high.
18 years you've been talking about this.
At the police station that is old, but, you know, you can't replace it unless you rip up the building, and, you know, we started talking 3 years ago about a police station, but now, you know, preliminary price is $25 million, so we've got to make sure we have a backup generator. The generator, actually, because that's now 28 years old.
Yeah. Up in the 90s.
Yeah, so the emergency generator can either be used at the police station to power the police station, or it can be brought down here if they don't need it to power the town hall in case of an emergency. So, you know, eventually, you know, whenever the town wants to spend 25 or 30 million bucks renovating the police station, then that will just be exclusive for here. But that could be 5 years.
And obviously, to that point, just to highlight the items that we're not recommending because we don't have the money is the police station renovation study, as well as our next favorite topic, municipal building windows, which we put on here. We're debating different funding mechanisms. Mike actually had a consultant come in. He did a pretty thorough analysis of the building. We feel $750,000 is the most accurate price, but this is why there are public bid laws. So what we're gonna do is try to put that up a bit later in the spring, early summer, see what the actual price is, and then come up with a funding scheme to try to pay for it. For those of you not aware, a lot of our windows, if you go into Jeff's office when it's raining, he has a bucket underneath. So some of the windows are in great shape. Some of them don't need a lot of work, and some of them need a lot of work. We talked about maybe trying to do it like the security. Oh, let's do one side of the facade and the next side, but then you're paying top dollar for every year. So you might as well just do the whole thing all at once. And so I added that item on here because it's something that's going to have to be a priority very soon. Otherwise, we're going to be digging into probably more damage behind the walls from other problems. So, but it's a lot of money, just like the rest of the list below it. If anybody has any questions on the items down below, I added on here a laundry list. These are just things that come off the top of our head. In the main packet, we had 5-year plans for everybody that, you know, I'd say all the departments have done a great job getting the things like curriculum and school security and some of the other, the roof replacements. Mike's got a 10-year plan in the packet. But these items on here are kind of outside what would be normal capital stuff that would be in our schedule. And these are just the other things just to have sticker shock. Realize that there's just a lot of competing interest down the road for a lot of the money. So if anybody has any questions on any of these issues, happy to answer them. But just every year we just like to put a list out there to give folks a heads up. Some of the other big things coming down
the line. So the most important thing on that list is the public safety communication. Yeah. We're having a study done right now because we have so many dead spots in our police and fire communication. And so that will probably be a spring vote to do something once we have more information. But you know, not good not to have communication with public safety in this day and age. So I know we talked about it briefly, but I mean, before we get windows, we're going to take care of that for sure. And we'll help. We don't have any information yet, so just let you know that.
Yes.
One quick follow-up, Jeff, from the discussion the other night on the Beaver Street Interceptor.
Yep.
You mentioned that Plymouth Field, their system field, and that only.
Brutus did.
Brutus mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, that they feel
we can kick
that,
him now because he's going to town.
Yeah. And a third of that town is sewered. And there was about $35 million cost, I heard, to that?
44.
$44 million. And if only a third of the town that the store uses, do they have to go to a 2.5 override to pay for that? Or?
No idea. I mean, we have a much higher percentage.
You would expect us to be able to be taken care of by sewer fees or bonds?
Yep. Yeah, you're going to borrow the money for 25. You know, that, you know, usually we try to borrow for 15 to 20 years, but on something like that, you might really think about it. But if you're going to get 100 years out of it, you might say, let's share the burden, do a level of debt, instead of declining interest, and maybe do a 30-year note. Mm-hmm. Just from an equity perspective, I know you're paying more in interest, but if it's going to be there 100 years, right, you might as well spread out the, you know, where a truck lasts 20 or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So That's going to be a fee increase. But not so much. We have to pay our electric bill.
And we have to do it.
Yeah, yes.
That's going to stand up for one.
And it'll be a substantial project in itself to deal with the design of that and where to go.
It should not be too much.
There'll be a lot of regulatory permitting parts of that. DEP, there's train tracks, there's private property easements, there's disruption to 140 or whatever. You know, disruption no matter which way you fire a tweet. So, that's the least resistance.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So I think we proceed to a final vote. Give the package.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
Want to pick it up?
Yeah. I count seven votes we have to take. The first one is Resolution 1902. Capital fiscal year 19, $4,596,000, and the items are outlined behind that on several pages. And I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Second.
To the
second. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none, motion approved.
The second item is 1903 to add $30,000 to the turf field stabilization fund. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion is approved.
Just a quick point. On that one, I don't know what you have in front of you, but it also requires the transfer of $110,880.55 from the leftover penalty money in the low bid.
So that was part of your motion.
That was part of your motion.
Yeah. I was very quiet on that part. I'm very modest. The third item is the fire truck stabilization fund. This time I'll read the whole thing. To transfer $100,000 from free cash into the stabilization fund. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none,
motion approved. Fourth item is Resolution 1905, Water Main Appropriation and Borrowing Authorization. And the motion is to appropriate $7,500,000 to pay for the cost and design constructing water mains and other water infrastructure improvements. Including the payment of all the costs incidental and related here to as outlined in this resolution. I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion approved.
The fifth resolution, my favorite, the Oak Hill Trust Fund.
You're living a dream.
The motion is to transfer from free cash $370,000 to the OPEB trust fund. I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion is approved.
Resolution 1907, the sped van. Motion is to transfer from free cash $56,446.65 for a sped van. I make the motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
And that's the one we bought previously. We just paid
right.
We were talking about that earlier.
Sure. We stole the money from one account to pay for it. So the school wouldn't have to be paying $200 a day.
Motion's approved.
And the final resolution we have is 1908. Street lighting LED project. The motion is to transfer from free cash $100,000. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion to approve. We've got to wrap up the recommendations and votes.
Mr. Holland, just
one more quick request was the fiscal policies.
Yes.
Just to
If you may remember, last week we went through a redraft of the fiscal policies. Happy to answer any questions, but just hopefully looking for a vote of confidence to move on to the next. Final recommendations and vote.
Oh, that's right.
For the, yes, that's right. Last meeting, they.
So, are there any questions on the fiscal policies?
I make a motion to approve the town of Franklin fiscal policies for 2019.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. We have a FY20 budget update. How much to talk about last?
We'll have more in a month. State aid will be out in a couple of weeks. Everybody's budget's been submitted. We start that review process next week. The superintendent's going to release her budget to the school committee in a week. So everything starts out good. We asked our consultant to reach out to our health insurance company. So hopefully, but that's probably end of February. But we did have a meeting with them recently, so all the numbers will be coming together. And we'll make some estimates, at least to get out of the gate where we stand probably by early February.
Okay.
I don't expect there'll be a FinCom meeting until March or.
Yes. Maybe even April.
When's the school committee public hearing?
The public hearing is on February 26th.
Right, they feel
Tuesday,
vote to
and then the vote will be the following meeting.
Okay.
I think it's March 12th.
Okay, so yeah, okay. So we'll know where we're at.
Okay.
Shortly after that, late March, early May, I mean early April.
One quick question, I guess a technical question, is with the changes that Prop 2.5 made to school budgets, vis-a-vis the fiscal autonomy that they used to have, the council doesn't have control over the school budget, correct?
No, never did.
Right, but there's a
power. So way back in the very early, they never had control of the school budget, but obviously 2.5 took away some things that were reinstated in the 1993 every formula, but it's still a bottom line budget.
Okay.
I think we could divert 9 of the Chromebooks to the Finance Committee so we don't.
I don't know if the training.
I think the answer is yes.
So much paper?
Yeah.
You'll find with us. Actually,
if you can stop using paper, we'll get you.
We'll get you the Chromebook. It's easy stuff.
This
is that a unanimous?
Yeah.
Yep. 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 Pat, Sue.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yep, go to flow.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So you need a motion to amend that.
I'll just bring my cap. Don't worry.
Yeah. We can give you the.
We'll try to have them when we have
We'll give you those third grade left
over. Yeah, mine is you scratches, right? Scratch and then mom.
Actually, stickers. Stickers.
But we could download.
We have pony.
It's easy for us to download stuff than print.
Yeah.
Trees.
Yeah. Actually, we had this debate. We were sitting there thinking, you know, we're sending everything out an email, and then we're thinking, you know, used to get
yeah,
big packets, and then we're like, oh my god, because yeah, we're like, oh my god,
it's 140
you know.
Pages. I mean,
or
yeah. No, 166.
166.
Yeah, 166.
Right. And you know, the funny thing is all the answers were on 167.
There was no answer to that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So moved.
Aye.
Aye.
Great suggestion. Everybody else immediately.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? In particular, if you have an interest in real estate, zoning, or construction, I would like somebody to follow the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, and/or the Conservation Committee meetings. I'll provide guidance on note-taking and sharing. You need to bring an inquisitive and open mind and willingness to learn and share. Overall, if you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please
please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008 and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.